The headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Who hasn't heard the age-old story of jolly old Saint Nick and the night before Christmas? That story of Santa Claus has delighted generations during this holiday season. Well, tonight we're asking, what are you telling your children about the magic of Santa Claus? How do you tell them and when? We're talking about that tonight, and you may not want to share this conversation with some of your youngest children. Just a spoiler alert, a little warning for you. But my guests are Dr. Jeff Menzies, Doctor of Clinical Child Psychology, lead consultant with Mind on the Matter, Charlotte Avery, mom strategist and mother of seven.
Family strategy.
You're not a mom anymore.
I am a mom.
It's just a wife strategy.
Somebody else is the mom strategist.
Attitude strategist. And Dr. Dana Williams, chair of the Howard University Department of English and professor of African American Literature. I got that right, Doc?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Somebody's got to get it right around here. Okay, so let us get this Santa Claus thing right. I'll ask Charlotte. Do you believe in Santa Claus for your children?
I don't think they're listening to this.
Let's hope not.
So I am Santa Claus. Me and their dad are Santa Claus for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as you know, we have seven children.
Yes.
And so we have younger children and older children because they're 14 to 5. And so that conversation, you know, our younger kids, you know, they talk about Santa and everything. And we address it in the way so that we don't like mess up their childhood nostalgia or anything like that. So sometimes when I talk to them, I just kind of let it fly over my head or whatever. But sometimes, I mean, they do. Our younger kids think that Santa Claus exists.
Mm-hmm.
Our older kids, they're just like, Mom, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth, Mom. Just tell the truth. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, whatever. But yeah, so right now we're on the fence.
You're definitely on the fence. What do you think about that, Dr. Menzies? You're a father as well. Santa Claus, yay or nay for you?
No, my children have never been told that there's a such thing as Santa Claus that brings gifts into the house. You know, we mostly celebrate Christmas with our family. You know, we take our children out of town where the Christmas trees are put up and all the ornaments are on the trees. So we don't even really do all of that in our house. We acknowledge Christmas, we celebrate it, but we do it with our family members and not necessarily in our own house.
Did you ever believe in Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. When I was younger, I did.
So what changed?
I guess I grew into a little bit more knowledge and understanding.
I mean, what changed as a child?
You're a
grown man with
grown
gray hairs around your
I had to
chin.
Part with my ways. No.
Oh, my goodness.
As a child, no, actually, I think just like with most children, I busted my mother putting the gifts under their tree. Like, wait a minute, Mom, come on. You mean to tell me all this time? You know, so that's how I came to understand it wasn't a Santa Claus.
My kids haven't busted me yet.
Yeah. Well, if they listen in tonight, you're done.
Maybe they have, and they just wanted to keep happening.
They haven't busted me yet.
But that's a big house with seven kids.
We're too slick.
How do you hide?
We're too slick.
How do you hide? But your husband's quiet.
Yes, we got it.
Okay, so Dr. Williams, what do you think about the Santa Claus story? Good or bad thing for children?
I think it can be a little bit of both. I'm thinking a lot about how Santa is represented in children's literature. So if you are indeed going to tell your children or let your children believe, because it's interesting, I don't think that anyone tells their children specifically. Black parents don't tell them. Kids come home and assume, and mm-hmm. then you just don't want to ruin it for them. But I've not met a single black parent who, you know, perpetuated the Santa Claus myth in terms of sitting children down saying Santa's going to get you or mm-hmm. Santa's not going to bring you something. Unfortunately, right. I think it's a situation where our children are in the mainstream very often. And when that is the case, they come home saying something about Santa, at which point, out of nostalgia, we just don't break it for them. So when I think about the way that it is represented in the literature, for parents who are really trying to get their children to understand what it is, overwhelmingly what we also see is representations of Black Santas in that literature. So I think there has been a conscious shift to move folks away from reading generic stories to ones where the imagery and the illustrations are done by Black artists. And so the representation has a little more flavor. Even the Twas of the Night Before Christmas story or poem that you were mentioning, there is actually an African-American version that sells for hundreds of dollars at this point now on Amazon because it's out of print. So the demand is there for us to continue to see ourselves in positive ways and in images that look like us, everything from making sure that your kid has the Black doll or the Black action figure. So I think there are options for it being good and bad. And one of the more interesting things that I found, even in preparing for tonight's conversation, was Santa at Kwanzaa or something like that. I can't remember exactly the title. I'll give it to you before we move through the next segment. But the elves bring Santa gifts in Kwanzaa style. So Black people figure it out.
But let me say that I agree that I don't think that parents will sit down and have a formal conversation about Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. But I will, but I don't agree that parents don't talk about, my parents did. And when my daughter was very little, there were casual mentions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Even if it was on Christmas Eve, you know, make sure you
go to bed.
Go to bed early because Santa Claus is coming. And for me as a child, I went through that for years. I remember baking the cookies. We put the milk out. We watched. I think that now with the internet and so much more information readily available, it is a lot more difficult. It's considerably more difficult to perpetuate the story of Santa Claus because kids, even if they're not smarter, they have more access to information.
Yeah,
they do. I mean, because their friends have access too. So even if it's not in their house, they're going to hear it on some level. And as a parent, you have to decide how you're going to navigate that conversation when your kids come home and say, "Mommy, so-and-so said that there's no Santa Claus. Is that true?" You know, then you have to decide, you're going to lie to your kids? What are you going to say to them?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really what do you believe and how you really want to handle that within your own household.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the magic of Santa Claus and what are you telling your children about that. If you have very young children, you may not want them to listen to this conversation. If you have shared the story of Santa Claus with them, but certainly we encourage you to continue to listen at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. McCoy, calling from Southeast. Thanks for calling, Doc. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down, Doc. What's on your mind? Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I would just like to say I'm a longtime active member of the Union Temple Baptist Church here in Southeast D.C.
Uh-huh.
And they teach our pastor teach us the truth about telling our kids that there is no Santa Claus, that mother and father are Santa Claus, so don't be lying to your kids. You tell them the straight-out truth.
Mm-hmm. At what age? You mean from the very, very beginning?
Yes, you be honest with them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, Dr. McCoy, thank you so much. What do you think about that, Jeff?
I'm absolutely on board with that. We never lie to our children about there being a thing called Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when our children did come home from school, like you're talking about, and other children, I said, well, don't ruin it. You know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, bust anybody else's bubble. But our children have always been clear that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And he definitely doesn't look like the popular image, you know, the white fat dude with the beard, you know, in the mall with kids sitting on his lap. They never went for that stuff. And
this goes back to what I asked before, but you did.
Yeah, when I was a child. You know,
So this is what I was asking you before.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a time when I did believe in Santa Claus, when I did not, I never busted my parents or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And yes, at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, there were just a few presents from family, friends, aunts, what have you. And then the next morning, the train set was up and there were all kinds of gifts that I will say that I'm okay today.
Mm-hmm.
that experience was a wonderful memory mm-hmm. of family,
yep.
of togetherness, of yep. joy and happiness in my family. I don't really remember. I do remember, I think my parents kind of said something to me. Maybe I was about 12 or something like that, maybe 11 or so. My bubble was not burst. It was kind of like, oh,
right.
Okay. So I ask you, if you enjoyed the story and the practices of Santa Claus as a kid, but your children do not, are they missing out on something?
They're not missing out on anything. I mean, I don't think they're missing out on anything, and I don't think they feel like they're missing out on anything because...
Well, you can't miss what you don't know.
And there you go. Exactly. My exact point.
Yeah,
but
true.
But I think that the point that the Dr. McCoy was making when they called in is that, you know, what we are actually doing is lying to our children. And it's kind of like you say, somebody called, tell them I ain't here. And then the children get in trouble when they're using that same defense for themselves. And so on that level of it, yeah, I don't want to lie to my children about those things. But at the same time, I'm not speaking ill or bad against anybody who does teach their children about Santa Claus, because mythology and fantasy and imagination has its place in child development.
I agree.
And it actually really helps children to engage in mythology, you know, especially stories like that. But when we got holidays like Christmas, and you and Christ is taken out of Christmas, you know,
right.
then I think, and it's replaced with Santa Claus or Krampus, you know, all these other things. You know, when you start getting really deep into the story and understanding what's behind the story, and then I think a lot of Christians who understand Christianity to a certain degree back all the way off of it, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually, if you look, I mean, just to get a little deep for a second, you see the word Santa, some Christians actually look at the letters rearranged and they see Satan in it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. It's there.
Okay. Well, I've heard.
That's another show,
that,
but
yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah,
you know,
those folks are not invited to my house.
So, you know, in our household, you know, even though there's a discussion of Santa Claus, our children do, we teach them that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And then also when people, when they're getting gifts and they're opening their gifts, we tell them who gave them that gift.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though they're talking about Santa, we'll say, oh, you know, you need to thank grandma, because they have to have the attitude of gratitude. They have to have the attitude of gratitude so that they know to be thankful for the things that people give to them also. So I think it's just what you decide to do and what your family traditions are and things like that. Because like one of the things that we do in our household is even when our children make their Christmas list, they take a piece of paper, they divide it into four quadrants. And there's a want, need, read, seed. So they put the things that they want. They put the things that they feel that they need. They put books that they want to read. And then they put the things that they're going to give away, so that they also, we are teaching them the law of reciprocity and, you know, things of that nature. And so we just find that that's really important. And it's not just all about, I made this list and I'm going to get every single thing that I want on it, because we also let them know it's a want. It's not a need. Now, if they're putting like underwear and socks and things like that, we're going to get them some underwear and socks. But like my son right now, he's talking, I want to PlayStation 4 and I want a phone and I wanted this and I wanted that. And I'm like, you know, just because you put things on your want list doesn't mean you're going to get everything off of that.
And then the other thing I wanted to add real quick, Harold, is you mentioned, like, you know, the love and the family, and, you know, all of that exists independent of the Santa Claus myth anyway, you know,
and
all of that is there, and it's independent of whether or not you're telling them about Santa, because those are tangible people, you know, grandma, auntie, cousins are bringing
right.
these gifts into the household.
Right.
It's
family.
It's real
right.
family sitting around a table breaking bread.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the major part of it. And
right.
the family absolutely enjoys that.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because I think those are separate memories. I think that the day has memories of the entire. You have the. And like I said, if you don't believe in Santa Claus, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody. That's fine. But as a friend of mine just sent a text to me, she says the fantasy leads to great creativity. That's what she believes.
Right.
And I think that is a moment. The food is a moment. Parents or grandparents coming over, all of that is a moment. But like you said, if you don't tell them, you can't miss what you've never had.
Right.
I honestly would not exchange those memories
mm-hmm.
for anything, because I don't think I lost anything once I found out. But I think also, you know, and this is tongue in cheek. Some people say, well, we don't have Santa Claus, so I don't have to buy you anything. Let me go.
let me go back to the phone line. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tanya calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, I have a quick question for your panel. I have an older child who, when he was younger, he believed in Santa Claus. But now that he's getting a little older.
How old is he?
He's going on 10.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of logical thinking kind of questions, like how does Santa Claus get around the whole world in one night? How does he fit down the chimney? You know, he's got a lot of questions. And I have to think about how to answer them. I don't really want to take away the fantasy of Santa Claus, but at the same time, is there a certain age where, you know, you should just tell children the truth or whatever?
Well, let me see if I can get an answer on the other side after the break. So, Tanya, please, I need you to hang on. You will be able to hear the program. Also, Monty calling from Hagerstown, Chris calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open, and we're still talking about what do you tell your children about the magic of Santa Claus. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're asking, what are you telling your children about the magic of Santa Claus and how do you tell them? We're talking about that tonight. And for some of you, you may not want to share this conversation with your youngest children. Just a little warning. My guests are Dr. Jeff Menzies, Doctor of Child Psychology, lead consultant with Mind on the Matter, also Charlotte Avery, family strategist and mother of seven children, and Dr. Dana Williams, chair of the Howard University Department of English and professor of African American literature. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya, are you still there? We lost Tanya. She was asking, however, What should she tell her son? And I guess it really kind of depends on your parenting skills, Dr. Williams.
I think so. And what she actually asked in terms of the question made me also think about something that you were talking about. Who is the mythology for? So to some degree, you have to ask, now, is Tanya more excited about this myth or is her kid? Will the kid get over it if the kid learns ultimately, there is no Santa? So I think that there is a lot of excitement that we have in preparing for our children as well.
I agree.
I don't remember believing in Santa or not believing in Santa.
Were you? Did you get sticks and ashes?
I did. I can't remember. I certainly didn't get a level call. I can't remember not ever being happy Christmas morning. Very distinctly is staying up very late with my father wants to help put my younger sister's dollhouse together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pure excitement for me.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was a little bit relaxed, like, oh, it's fine. If, you know, this is like one of these big Barbie dream houses, so it had multiple floors. I was like, no, you don't understand. It has to be perfect. So the excitement was mine. Mind you, my father built houses for a living.
Oh, wow.
So he's just like, oh, it's fine. You know, she'll wake up, she'll be excited, she'll see it. I was like, no, the second floor has to be this way. So that also makes me think, like, who's it for, and what kind of incentives does Santa provide for us or for the children?
So was that an open kitchen, granite countertops, and hardwood floors?
It had all of the upgrades.
I bet it did.
Yes. Three-car garage.
Barbie had a car.
So just as kind of, because I kind of felt Tanya's conflict, you know, I felt that she was kind of conflicted about, you know, when her son was asking, you know, well, you know, how does he get from place to place and whatever. And, you know, depending on how, like, quick and savvy you are as a parent, you know, you can always be like, I mean, if you're not trying to take the nostalgia of Christmas from that child yet, I mean, there are different time zones. You know, Santa comes here at whatever, you know, what our time zone is. And in Africa, he comes wherever. In Germany, he comes whatever. You can do that if that's what you choose to do. I don't know, I mean, how quick parents think on their feet. I'm a quick thinker.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I would have said.
But if it's about the mystery, too, to some degree, you can say, isn't that something? That's something you might want to think about.
Or that you can figure that out. That's fascinating.
Yes.
How believable wink, wink is
right.
this?
Right. Yeah, and I'm
enjoying the young man's logic. Like, yeah. You know,
right. So right. Yeah, I immediately went to,
you figured it out. You know, it's kind of like mm-hmm. that moment where I'm encouraging his reasoning mm-hmm. and saying, wow, okay, you finally got it. So, you know, that's probably where we have the conversation again to say it was a myth, you know, but it was a myth that's used for these reasons and the excitement that you felt, you know, the energy about it. And you figured out you've solved the mystery of Santa Claus.
Right.
That's right. And then you get the kid that asks, well, is the sleigh traveling at the speed of sound right. or is it at the speed of light?
Right.
Is there a sonic
boom?
Boom?
Right.
You know, I'm like, sit down, kid.
Right. But I think that that's the beauty of parenting. Yeah. I think that's the beauty of parenting because how I parent might be different from how you parent. It might be different from how you parent. It might be different from how you parent when you become a mom. You know what I'm saying? So it's like so many different things. And so I think it's just whatever you decide to do for your particular household.
But I think it's also critical to think about it in terms of the children. My oldest nephew never mentioned Santa once, ever. We were sitting all
now
trying
how old
to figure
is he?
Out. He is now 12.
Okay.
But the whole time he was growing up, I mean, he had no questions. He had, and he never said, I believe in Santa, I don't. He was completely indifferent to Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie, who's the intellectual, was happy because I was perfectly prepared to explain to him, now this mythology means this and it has this representation. Now there's this capitalist element to it, but then there's also.
Oh my gosh.
My right, and which is exactly my sister's like, oh my God.
I know, I can oh, I wish
imagine.
I was
your
sister.
I can imagine.
Dana,
no, when he
I told
came
you.
And said, I'm conflicted about Thanksgiving.
Did he use the word conflicted?
He did.
That's troubling in and of itself.
He's like, I'm excited to be here, but I'm a little conflicted. And my sister looks at me, she's like, come on, what did you do? And I didn't do a thing.
But you know what? But I think it's like the school principal. It's what they learn in school, too, because my kids did the same. Some of my kids did the same thing about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. And
right.
I didn't say that. I said, you know, so he didn't. Whereas the youngest one says, come on, T.T., just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And so he's obsessed. And you look at personality as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So one's more introspective and like, no, I'm not going for that, but I'm not going to ruin it for anybody else.
Right.
Whereas the other one is like, I think I can believe this hype. I want to believe this hype. This is mysterious. I want to figure this out. I don't want to ruin it. He's like, oh, come on. Just tell me. Just tell me. So it challenges your parenting skills.
It does. It
really
children.
Does.
Yes, it does. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it does, because even with our older kids, like, we don't let them ruin it for our younger kids, and just even navigating those waters, knowing that we've got some teenagers and we've got some tweens and we've got some, you know, we got the bigs, the middles, and the littles, and it's like, how do you know, navigate that? And so, yeah, it's really something.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Monty, calling from Hagerstown, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Hey, how
good
are
evening.
You?
Good evening.
Well, I'm a father of nine.
Woo.
Go, Monty!
I have four that's in the Santa Claus age.
Uh-huh.
My set of twins, they'll be 8 in January. And I have a 10 and 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All believe in Santa, except for the 10-year-old. Just last year, I was getting the cookies prepared, so she came down. She says, Dad, I need to talk to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness!
She had the talk.
I said, okay, let's talk. She said, well, I don't believe in Santa. So I said, well, why do you say that? So she said, Dad, I'm 9 years old. I know there's no Santa. So I'm at this point, the cookie's not being baked.
Hmm. Wow. She just didn't want to bake the cookies. So Monty, let me ask you, do you believe it's important that your children believe in Santa?
Well, I think it's not so much as important. I think it's a childhood thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed in Santa until I busted my parents.
Parents need to get it together.
So I think it's a part of childhood. It's just like anything else as far as fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we were coming up, we believed in Pocahontas, like the all the little furry Disney characters and stuff. Until you reach that age, you're like, wait a minute, this ain't nothing but a show.
Ah, okay.
So, you know.
Well, okay, Monty, thank you so much. I'm not even going to allow Dr. Williams to respond to Pocahontas.
We're
going to
go. I saw her face.
Y'all are laughing. I know,
right? But Santa Claus was a real person, too.
St. Nicholas. Yes. That's very true.
And multiple iterations. So it is that same kind of mythology. I'm with Monty.
Okay. Chris, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening to everyone. And
good evening.
This is a very interesting conversation that you're having. I spoke to my daughter the other day. She's 16, special needs. And I pretty much told her that Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus is your mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to her just the fact that reindeers don't fly. That's facts. Okay. they also don't talk. So I basically told her the truth about Santa Claus and about that holiday, but I didn't go into depth as history shows that Christmas was celebrated in August before it came to the America. Now, one would have to go back to do the research to be able to understand that statement I just made. So as I was listening to the other callers, like questions about, well, what do you tell your child? Does he go to all the houses? Why lie? Why not be honest and tell the truth if you, the parent, understand the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the breakdown, because a lot of times parents don't know the truth behind the holiday.
We
should be celebrating Kwanzaa. I haven't heard nobody say Kwanzaa.
Well, this isn't a Kwanzaa conversation.
It was mentioned, though.
We're not even talking so much about Christmas. We're talking about Santa Claus. So let's be clear about where this conversation is, because we can get into Kwanzaa and all of that, and probably will after December 25th. But Chris, I will say thank you so much for your conversation. Let me go to Marcy calling from Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Marcy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, growing up, I believed in Santa Claus. And when I found out that there really wasn't a Santa Claus, I was devastated.
Really?
My parents had betrayed me. It made me wonder, well, what else have they not been truthful about? I was going to be truthful with my children. When I had a daughter, I didn't have the conversation that there was a Santa Claus. As a matter of fact, if she ever had brought it up, I said, no, me and your father are Santa Claus. And then after she started getting acclimated to school, she came home one day and said, Mom, you're wrong. There is a Santa Claus.
You see, it goes the other way.
I know. I said, well, just don't be mad when you learn the truth, because I've been trying to be truthful to you. She never brought it up after that. So as an adult, she's in her 20s now, I recently asked her, I said, hey, you know, the whole thing about Santa Claus, how did you feel about that? She goes, well, I was okay with you telling me the truth, but I wished I had the fantasy. Mm-hmm. I think I missed out on having the fantasy. And I kind of felt like that, but you said you appreciated the truth, right? So we left it at that the truth prevailed. But she did, you know, like to say she wished she had a little bit of the fantasy, because, you know, she knew it wasn't true. She was trying to believe it and make me believe it, but I just wasn't going to go there, because I was devastated. I just kind of felt all these people who were telling me that there was no Santa Claus, and then when I found out they were telling me the truth, my parents were not. I just felt betrayed. And I didn't want to have my child to feel like that. So that's why I did it that way.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Marcy. I do think back to, again, the idea of Santa Claus, because my parents did it. They did it very, very well. But even as a parent, when my daughter was very, very young, I also enjoyed the surprise for her.
Mm-hmm.
And let me compare it, for example, to a birthday. If she knew early that I and her mother were Santa Claus, I don't think that there would have been that same kind of magical feeling, because she wakes up in the morning and it's like, well, let me see what they got me.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to waking up and there was nothing there. And this speaks to, as I said earlier, the magic of it, short of, you know, telling your child on their birthday, well, we're just going to go and have dinner, and then you take them somewhere, and then you've got this huge party with all of their friends. Yeah, that's the magic of parenting, mm-hmm. and deep pockets. But but when Charlotte, first of all, how do you keep the older kids from telling the younger ones?
Well, we just tell them they can't.
Oh, that's right. And you give them the Charlotte face.
Yeah, it's the look.
Yeah.
It's the...
Have you ever wondered whether or not, you know, one of them may say, come here, you...
No.
They better not.
Mm-mm.
But you never thought that you just laid down the law.
We just laid it down. It's mm-hmm. kind of what you do when you have all those kids, yeah, so that nobody's trying to, like...
You have a basketball team.
Undermine.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and undermine everybody, yes. But, yeah, it's very interesting, but, you know, like, Marcy, for her, it, like, went the other way.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting, you know, that she told her daughter, you know, that Santa didn't exist, but then her daughter goes to school... And comes home
things.
Like, Santa does exist.
Right.
You're wrong, Mom. Like, what do you do with that? Right. Usually when you send your kids to school, they're coming back with the other side.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting, actually.
Oh, man. So, and here's the thing, Dr. Williams, about black families also, because there are the questions that come up as black families... years ago began to, I can't even think of the word, allow, the, you know, black culture to seep into these kinds of myths, as it were. That's another thing that's difficult to explain.
And it's difficult to navigate in some instances because I know that some families will not allow their children to take pictures with a white Santa, for instance, which is real. So you have to go to whichever mall. We live in a diverse community, but, you know, I'm from Louisiana. My sisters in Arkansas have family all over the South. And having to go to a space to find a black Santa or be clear that we will not be taking pictures with a black Santa or with a Santa at all, or the same thing. I can also remember not getting a doll because the black doll wasn't available. And I do remember my mother saying at that point, and we were clear that there was no Santa, because she was like, listen, I ordered Christy. Christy wasn't in. You all will not have Barbie.
Is that Christy?
Barbie, the
is
doll that head. Christy. Right? Oh, Christy had a yellow base. Barbie had a pink base.
Right.
And Christy was deep, dark, beautiful brown. Whereas, you know, Barbie was a little pale with the blonde hair. She said, this is not happening. Mm-hmm. I sent for Christy. Christy didn't. That was a back order on Christy. So
I'm sure there was.
Order.
Always,
was a back order
when you
on
said
Christy.
Christy, I was thinking Christy Love, played by Teresa Graves, that first black female detective. Oh. You know, there you go.
Yes.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more about Santa Claus. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're asking, what are you telling your children about the magic of Santa Claus, and how do you tell them? We are reminding you that you may not want to share this conversation with your youngest children. Before the break, we were talking about kind of navigating some of the realities of Santa Claus, black Santa Claus, white Santa Claus, dare I say Asian Santa Claus, the elves. My parents used to tell me when I began to inquire, how is it that Santa Claus is over here at Iverson Mall, but also at White Flint and Springfield Mall? How is that possible that Santa Claus is always there? And my mother used to say, oh, they're helpers.
Mm.
And when Mom laid down the law, I understood that and I just took it. Helpers. I will tell you about one of the most embarrassing Santa Claus stories that I've ever had. When I was a news anchor in Alabama, and I was asked to play Santa Claus for one of the communities, one of the underserved communities there, and I was more than happy to do that. But you have to understand, for me, that was 50 pounds ago. And so, so I was a rather thin.
Slim Harold.
Yeah, I was. And everybody just, we had a ball. I was completely in character until one of the little girls who watched me on television religiously pointed me out.
Wow. Called you out, huh?
Wow.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And that's a pillow. Not a pillow. That's a pillow. You know? Oh, boy. Oh, and, of course, her mother dragged her out. But, so I think that I felt so bad. I really, really did. I'm such a bad Santa. But how do you navigate those things? Jeff,
I think it's unique to every situation, and parents just have to be on their toes and make those decisions on the fly. Is this the time for the great reveal, or do I keep it going as long as possible? And one thing, it's very difficult when you're dealing with families who don't have a lot of disposable income.
How about that?
And we have a family that doesn't have a lot of disposable income, and so all throughout the year, I can't. And then during Christmas time, you're putting things on layaway and, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul to buy some Christmas gifts and all this stuff. And then you give credit to a mythological being as opposed to saying mom and dad scraped for this.
Right.
Those are some things I found families have to negotiate as well. And you just have to make these decisions on your own. And I think that there's nothing wrong with the myth. There's nothing wrong with revealing it. And there's also nothing wrong with totally telling the truth from the beginning. It's all about the children, your family union, and how you decide to do your thing.
I agree with that. Yep.
How do you feel about the Grinch, Charlotte?
You're a mean one. Mr. Grinch.
We don't really talk about the Grinch. Because,
but the Grinch is everywhere. IHOP has Grinch pancakes,
green joints.
Yeah, but my kids only know the Grinch from TV and stories.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So the Grinch is not the same. It's like a storybook character or something like that. So the Grinch is not even real to them. Mm-hmm. It's whoever played him in the movie that year.
Frosty the Snowman. Again, just characters.
They're just characters.
Brown's Christmas.
They're
all
just
the
characters.
Yeah, they're all the.
And they're like stuff that they like to watch Christmas night or the week leading up to Christmas and things like that. But
Rudolph?
No.
Not even Rudolph.
You don't even do Rudolph.
Dang. I mean, they don't talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
They just see him on TV.
Reindeer on Game of Thrones.
Oh, my gosh.
They know that one.
Oh, my goodness. What? If my kids are watching Game of Thrones, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, you are definitely. That's next level.
It is. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I'm binging.
Son coming out the bathroom talking about I'm naked and afraid. When have you watched that, son?
Wow. Parental controls.
Oh, my gosh. I ran downstairs quick. I was like, oh, my gosh. What is this? Yeah.
What does the family dynamic look like, though, leading up to? I'm interested in that because Frosty Snowman, Rudolph, Charlie Brown, like all of those things were moments or events when everyone sat around and watched it. And, of course, there were only three channels, and I get that. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot more options now. But I also remember that as a significant part of the holiday dynamic where everybody...
Yeah, it was absolutely.
You sat... There was the Charlie Brown with Halloween, and you knew what was coming next was some Charlie Brown Christmas. So how do your kids, like, build community around the holiday if that is something that's... I assume, of course, that they build community all along the way, but familial community around the holidays.
So one of their favorite movies is Elf.
Yes.
They love Elf. And so, like, we, like, played in the car right now. Like, everywhere we go, we're watching Elf. Like, we still watch Charlie Brown Christmas and all those things. But they really look forward to just putting on their pajamas and sitting by the fireplace and just vegging out and watching all of the, Mr. Winter, whatever, the... What is that you know, the hot guy and the cold guy. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
the heat miser?
Yes, those people.
Yes.
Yes. And so, I mean, they love watching those kinds of things together. And I love that because they do, like you're talking about, that sense of community. They talk about, you know, getting their Christmas Eve box with their Christmas pajamas and things like that. Like, I will give them the box, but they don't know what's in the box, only for them to wrap the box to unwrap the box. But they love that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, just to see the surprises on their face of what was in their box. Mm-hmm. I mean, they know that I put it in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I mean, it just, it goes back to like when you're trying to develop family traditions right. and things of that nature and what you find important. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we just love it. I mean, they really, really love it. And just to see them, you know, from age to age and all that, just how they even navigate it. I mean, I enjoy being their mom and just seeing it and through their eyes, you know, and how they're experiencing it.
You're bringing up a really good point about the ritual and ceremony, because that's a major part of it, is having that family ritual. You know,
it is.
Whatever it is, and it's important that it is, because those are going to build those memories that we were talking about earlier. You have some memory about this time of year. My children, they know, all right, we're getting ready to go out of town. We're going to go see these people, hang with these cousins.
Right.
And everybody's ready, because these are the cousins now that are coming in from out of town. So
they're
the cousins from out of town now.
Right.
Whereas my wife and I, we were home. You know, we had cousins that came in from out of town. So mm-hmm. it builds a certain pattern.
It does. You know,
and it establishes something within the family. This is our tradition for this time of year.
Right.
This is what we do.
Right.
And I think outside of the faith-based stories, mm-hmm. which I think for Christians, the church in December is always great.
Yeah.
Because they're always... Mm-hmm. I would argue spiritual prizes and surprises mm-hmm. and things to do. But back at home, one of the things outside of the Christian traditions, one of the things that I really, really liked was the story A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Every mm-hmm. Other than the Mr. Magoo one, which I never really cared for, but whether it was live action, whether mm-hmm. it was a play, even if it was more animated, but serious animation, I really, really loved that story. Always kind of put me in that Christmas holiday mood, because I think that the message in that about being transforming yourself when you begin to look back at some of the things that you've done wrong, said wrong, how you've treated people, and redemption and getting another chance at your life and improving the lives of others if you can. I've always liked that. And I think that's really one of the best. That was my grown up Santa Claus, if I could.
Right.
And I still get some final thoughts. Dr. Williams, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there were some productions this year that I thought stood out. And then I'll talk a little bit really quickly about some books, but some things that I'd like to see. There is a Christmas Carol production that's in D.C. that has a black main character. The only theater production of Elf has a black Santa Claus who has locks. Mm-hmm. Then there's
don't they all? Oh, I'm sorry. No,
right, that curly white hair is actually like curly locks, white.
There you go.
And very intentionally, like Mr. Greenway's black. So there are all of these diverse. The mother in Elf is Latino. The son is white. The father. I mean, so you have
That's
this
cool.
variety, this multi-ethnic cast, I think. So those are things that are interesting. I'm looking forward to more original productions that are black cultural traditions. I can't remember the title of it now, but Nolan Williams did a piece at the Lincoln Center, at the Lincoln Theater a couple of years ago that was an original production that built on those same themes,
mm-hmm.
but were original. And then if you get your kid anything, absolutely stop by Sankofa on Georgia Avenue or Mahogany Books, some of our black independent owned bookstores, mm-hmm. and make sure you pick up some books, not just about the holidays, but about black culture, black life, and of course, African culture,
mm-hmm.
So that our children can begin to see themselves in the long view tradition that they actually come out of, as opposed to just a, you know, blip in contemporary moment.
Well, I think I'm going to have to stop right there.
I'm sorry.
She's a professor. That's what they mean. And, anyway, I thank all of you for coming in.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Jeff Menzies, Charlotte Avery, and Dr. Dana Williams. And whatever you celebrate during this holiday season, please make it a peaceful one, a happy one, and one for great reflection. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, December 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.